I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
My name is Anna Silk. For 6 seasons, I played Beau on the hit TV series Lost Girl.
And my name is Rachel Skarsten. For 3 seasons, I played Tamsin.
Welcome to the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast,
a show where we will look at all the episodes, share some behind-the-scenes stories,
and chat with some very special guests.
On the show, our relationship was sometimes rocky.
But in life, our friendship is rock solid.
We are so glad you are here to join us this trip down memory lane.
We love that the family is back together again.
See the moon rise up.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to My Dog Barking and the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast, Episode 6, where we're going to be talking about Lost Girl Episodes 11 and 12 in Season 2. We have a very special guest that I'm very excited about because, well, for many reasons, actually, but one of the biggest reasons is because I actually don't know her that well, so I'll get a chance to get to know her a bit. I have to say, in rewatching these episodes, I think this was one of the best casting choices in Lost Girl history, and I will tell you why in the episode. But Rachel, and I'm going to introduce you to her because you do not know her as well, please help me welcome Lena Rosler.
Yay!
Hello.
Hi, Lena.
I'm actually really excited to meet you, and I kind of feel like I are. When Anna asked me, have you guys met? And I'm like, I don't think so. But I feel like I've met you because when I booked Lost Girl,
losing Rachel,
I wanted to watch all of the episodes. And your you coming in is something I so specifically remember about watching them, even to this day. So yeah, I'm very excited to have you on. Thank you.
That's really nice to hear. I think you cut off for 2 seconds, probably the best part. But you know, it was
really Okay, well, I'll say it again.
No, don't say it again. I appreciate it. No, I like the flattery is really nice to hear. Thank you so much. And it's likewise. I mean, it's really great to meet you in this context as well. I mean, we better in person. I'm excited to be here, and thanks for bringing me on board this cool, you know, revisiting of like a really amazing time.
I know. It's really interesting to rewatch, right? Like, I mean, it's been off the air long enough now that we can look back, and I don't remember these stories, and then watching them, I remember so much more about what's happening around me than story. But I remember, and one thing I said to Lena, for everyone listening before she came on, is I actually couldn't remember if she was really British or not because her accent was so good. I was I think she was British. You in fact are not British.
Nope. Spoiler alert. Yeah, I'm not British. But the funny thing is, I remember, I'm just going to jump in and then
yeah, we'll, please.
But I remember, you know, doing the table read and being asked at the table read if I could do an accent. And I was like, yeah. And then we started, you know, it was like I think we were shooting like the next day or the day after. It was really, really quick. And wow. So I just remember being, you know, obviously really nervous because I think the tape, like, cause I, it was a tape, this audition for me. And, okay. Yeah, it was not with an accent.
So wow. That is wild. See, that you guys done.
Sorry.
Had you ever done English accent before?
I had like a tiny role on actually a really cool project. I'm Not There, in Montreal.
Oh yeah.
And I played like a British journalist, but you know, had like three lines or something, maybe whatever, but playing a British part, but this was something else. It was like the whole character. And it's so weird. Cause it really paints her in a different way, you know, whether it's
absolutely
mannerisms, like how she's moved, like, and it's just adding another kind of layer onto something that you're trying to kind of come up with. It was great. It was such a challenge. And it was that I remember, it was like, okay, can you do the accent? And it's like, also, by the way, we're going to have like a love scene. Like that's probably gonna be the first thing that you shoot. Like, oh my God. Just like sweat, like just start, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, no problem. I feel like they always have love scenes like at the top because they think it will be less awkward if you don't know each other.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's true.
I agree. I think you need a little time. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Like even like 6 days in, you know what I mean? Like, so you don't know each other too well, but then like,
yeah, you want to go on a first date and then, yeah, like, you know, yeah, like little something.
You want to meet at the craft table a couple times and have a snack.
Like, good morning. Yeah, something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Lena, for everyone listening, so Lost Girl fans are obviously going to be really excited to hear from you because you were such a pivotal part in Dyson's history. And this is what we see in this, well, not in this episode actually, but we see it a little bit earlier in the season, but we get to see a little bit more of Kiara and Beau's relationship develop in this episode. So the first one we're talking about is episode 11, which was titled Can't See the Fairest, written by Shelley Scarrow and directed by Gail Harvey. And then we'll talk a little bit about episode 12 as well, which was called Masks, directed by Grant Rosenberg, who was also our showrunner that season, who was amazing, mm-hmm. and directed by Lee, written by Grant Rosenberg, sorry, and directed by Lee Rose. So, so your audition for this was a tape. So you never actually read with Chris.
Oh my God. And by the way, the tape, it's the first time I booked anything off of a tape, first of all. Second of all, this is like insider secrets. I didn't have a reader.
Okay.
And it was like, I wonder if I could, I don't know who has these tapes. Like this is 1,000 years ago, but it was like, I did it kind of like a monologue part of it. And I was like, wow. There's no way. Like, I don't know what I just did. That was the weirdest thing I've ever done.
That's why you booked this job.
Yeah.
This is wild. I love these stories.
And I kind of want to like, even then I was like, oh, I never look back, but even now I sometimes, well, watching all this, I was like, oh my God, you know, you just remember all these things and you're just like, holy shit. Can we swear on this? Yeah.
Right. Yes, of course.
Was it a scene that you ended up doing in the show for your audition?
I think it was just,
do you remember which scene it was?
Because that first episode is like, it was like, you know, like this medieval kind of set. I wanted to when I watched these two, I was like, oh my God, I want to watch the whole season, but I only did it last night. So I was like, no, I don't have time. I wish I could have gone back and like, you know, delved into it. But it was a scene from like the first time that she's introduced. And, it was this moment of just kind of doing it. Like, I think she's like healing if she's saying something. So there's not a lot of back. I don't know how I got away with it. Like, but I'm very, very, you know, blessed and grateful that I did. So.
Well, I think that, you know, obviously you're a wonderful actress, but also I think you were so perfectly cast in this role because you know, you've got to come into a story at a point where they've kind of broken this love triangle up between Beau and Dyson and Beau and Lauren, and they're trying to give those characters other relationships and other stories. So, mm-hmm. it could have been an obvious choice to bring someone in who would be very adversarial with Beau. But instead they brought you in, who is strong and smart and beautiful and all of those things, but also incredibly kind and warm. So that's almost a bigger threat to Beau, because Beau ends up liking you.
Right.
Which I love, instead of just like, that bitch took my man. You know, it's like, yeah. It was never that. Because you brought so much to it, and there was so much respect between those two characters, which I really loved.
Yeah, they did such, it was, and that is this episode. That's like, yeah, exactly what happens. And they have their, and you know, it's like the way that it starts off too, with you and Kenzie.
I love that scene.
The leather jacket. It's so funny too. When I started, just a little aside before I go into this, I started watching the show and I was like, oh my God, like, this makes me want to get a leather jacket. Like, oh, it looks cool.
Looks cool.
You guys are looking at this. Anyway, that's an aside, not to do with anything. But yeah, just the way these female relationships are portrayed, which is really, yeah, which is really cool, and how, yeah, the other woman, and then like how the friend also has to kind of
come to her defense.
Yeah. Come to defense. Yes. Like, oh, this is my, like, I'm not, you know, who's that? Like, we're to get like these loyalties.
Yeah.
And I thought they did it, and it was really nice. Like, this sort of shifting, and Kiara, my character, is also trying to navigate. Like, she's like the new, you know, the newbie in the crowd. Like, obviously completely not of the same class background, and like all that stuff, which is also really interesting that they kind of played with that in this episode, with like,
yeah,
like that kind of status kind of ideas, mm-hmm, that comes out in this episode, and I think the next one as well. So it was,
and
really,
I love cool how you see, like, you know, speaking of that, like, you see Beau in her black and purples, and Kiara's, totally, in her white and, you know, winter whites and all that, yeah, kind of stuff. Right. And yeah, that was like, I we've talked about on this podcast before how hair, makeup, and wardrobe really tells a story as well. Yeah. And it really does in that sense in this episode. Oh, yeah. But do you remember that day of filming, that first scene outside the dress shop?
Yeah.
I remember that day being so exciting because we shot right at the corner of, I think, Bay and Bloor.
Yes.
So it's like right downtown Toronto. It's really bustling and busy. By then, people knew what Lost Girl was, at least in Toronto. I think we had posters all over the subway at that time. So, we were getting a lot of attention, and yeah, it was exciting to be on this corner shooting the show. Because we were often in like dark caves shooting. So it was really exciting to be out on the street. One question I have for you, just as an actor, how do you find it to join a cast that has been established, that is tight? I know, Rachel, you have a lot of experience doing this too.
It's just the joke. I come in season 3.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So many times.
But like, to step in and do that in a tight knit group is intimidating.
Oh yeah, of course. It's kind of, but what's cool about it, and I guess I was kind of touching on this, talking about the character herself, like it's a easy metaphor to do that. Like, she's coming in, and also in this episode, coming into the doll, coming into that bar, and like, oh, it's like going to, or, you know, people always say this, like, it's, you know, first day at school, and you're like, oh no, who am I going to sit with at lunch? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, like, am I cool enough? Like this idea to come into the cat, like to come into a family that's established, you know, but as an actor, like, going into the routine, you guys know the studio, you know, the ropes, the crew, like, super, mm-hmm, important. Like, there's like inside things that happen, like it, that you get to be familiar with, like a nod or a look or whatever, that there's this kind of language that develops naturally, and as it should. And that's what makes a show like this great, is because then, yeah, you develop this language, you develop this kind of like pace with each other and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I guess as like the outsider, of course, it's like a bit intimidating, but I think that worked for Kiara. And in this context as well, she's the outsider even more, mm-hmm, like she's like I said, a socioeconomic background and just a completely different vibe and bringing something else. That's like the way she's dressed when she walks into the doll too. It's just like, yeah. She's like, this is not your bar.
No, you really stand out. Yeah.
It's not your thing. So, and like, yeah. Just how she's like, sit. It's weird to talk about this as though it's not me. Like, but you know, like, the character.
But it sort of starts to feel like not you when you watch something 10 years
totally.
Later.
Yeah, like, it totally does.
It was a trip to watch that. And remembering too, like how I felt being on that set, like when we're doing certain things and like, and it was so cool. Just back to what you were talking about, being on the street on Bloor and Bay or, and that's like the shop, like that's for whoever is listening and not from Toronto maybe, but that's like, that's where, you know, whatever, all the high end stores are all the luxury.
Yeah, like Gucci and like,
it's all there on that strip, but it's also fun to be shooting on location. But what I thought was so cool about working on this was going into the studio and looking at the, like that bar set up and like the rooms and like walking through, it's like you're walking in. For me as I'd only been in a couple sets before like that as an actor. And like, when it's becomes your home for all of you, like the cast, like that's something really special and weird too. Like these rooms become kind of like, it's a real place, you know, but you're moving walls, you're doing stuff. And I was also thinking about the lighting in the show and then versus you go outside and it's like, psh, like bright, like they, you know, it's, right. It's mm-hmm. cool. And how they open that episode is it's true. It's like jumping worlds. So
yes.
It's you two with your, with the leather and the purples and the black. And like, you're in this, like it's
an eyeliner.
yeah. And the eyelid, but like you're in this sort of environment that's like, yeah, just different.
Yeah.
So it
totally.
was fun to watch that. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved so many things in this episode. I loved, seeing, oh my God, the guest star that plays Maganda.
I looked her up.
That actress. Yeah. Pamela Matthews. Is that the name you found as well? So she was incredible. Like, I had forgotten how incredible she was, because it's hard to come in to play a lady who's trying to find her wood parts and make it compelling. But it was like heartbreaking. Her desperation was like a mother's desperation. And I actually remember the last scene with her where she comes out of the vault that we've locked her into. She comes out and she does that monologue. And I remember the whole crew like holding their breath because everyone was so moved. I literally was floored by her. And I remember feeling it on the day. It's just that I haven't seen it in so long, but she was phenomenal.
I'm glad you brought it up, because literally I looked her up, because I also thought like it goes also these roles, and like, we don't have to go into like, you know, what it might mean for an Indigenous actor and like playing these roles, like this kind of thing. But it was really interesting to watch. So I did wonder, like, and because her performance was so beautiful.
Amazing.
And like, ground and like, and what a weird, you know what I mean? Like to do that. Also the actors in the show, like the things that were asked of the actors in this like mythological kind of story, this folklore, the things that you do to really, like, you're trying to ground it in this authentic kind of real feeling. But at the same time, there is like a bit of like humor underneath. There is a bit of whatever, but she was amazing. And I looked her up, and it turns out she's doing a film with a friend of mine right now. So I was like, oh my God, I've got to write to him. Anyway, so it was, yeah.
Well, tell her that we have talked about her on this podcast.
Because it's amazing.
Oh yeah.
It's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, agreed.
I also love that Kiara, like, so Bo needs to go to Kiara, right? I love the transition of like, who's, what do you mean? Who's going to help me? And then we go into the dress shop where, you know, Kiara's educating her about all the people, the rich people that are going to be there. But I also love that Kiara needs Bo. You know, she wants to know more about Dyson. It really matters to her. So she needs a friend.
Yeah. And,
you know,
it's really nicely written at the end too, when, not to jump to the end of the episode, but like, because you tell her, like, you know, you seem like really lonely, and you see, like, you know, and it's very I feel like it's very like, it's hard and kudos to you and your performance. Like it's, that's like, you know, I don't know. There's something really interesting happening with the two characters and totally. As two women who are just like, look, like this is the way it is now. We're friends. And Kiara tries to put on this brave face of like, no, you guys go to this party. It's totally fine. You need to do this. Like, I trust you. We're friends. Like she wants to do the right thing and she wants mm-hmm. to like give respect. But as you say, at the same time, she's like, she wants to be accepted so badly yeah. into the thing and also needs to know more about Dyson. Like he's like a enigma, I think she says, yeah. like, you know him much better now. I mean, we were together like what, 1,000 years ago or something.
Yes, so, exactly. You know,
literally.
Exactly.
So there's been, you know, there's yeah. been lifetimes in between that. So
lifetimes in between. I know. Speaking of the undercover part, I love Dyson as Wendell.
Oh yes, Wendell.
He was very, very funny as Wendell. Yes. And just in terms of story of the episode too, there, and this is a separate storyline, but all the stuff with Lauren and Lachlan was really powerful as well. And Zoe was incredible. So was Vincent Walsh. And, you know, Lauren gets thrown into a cell and all this crazy stuff is happening in that storyline. I just need to point it out because it is part of this episode.
Vincent Walsh's like,
oh, I know.
Looks,
I know.
Like his evil looks are just.
It was like the way he would move his head and like, yeah, like it was almost like he was constantly like sniffing the air of like, yeah. you know, like what's going on here. But,
there's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's see here. I've got lots of other notes. I also love the last scene with Kiara and Dyson in this episode where, you know, because Bo goes to her and says, like, be honest with him. Like, yeah. tell him what you want. And she does. And she says, will you love me back?
Oh, yeah.
And it's a beautiful scene with you and Chris.
Yeah.
It was done with such sensitivity and vulnerability and I love that Chris has to struggle a bit to, yeah. It's not that he wouldn't, because you can see that love is there, but, it's just really interesting and compelling and you guys did it so well.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And I love that line, like, will you love me back? It's so vulnerable. It's so, mm-hmm. it's so honest, but she has just taken Bo's advice and, mm-hmm. but really is like laying it out there and like, yeah, it's kind of like this raw scene and it's true waiting for him to respond and what he's going to say. And he does do it. So it's like, it's not that it's ambiguous, but it's like, he doesn't say, I'll love you back. He says yeah. like, I'll do my best or something. Like, I can't remember. Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not quite that, but it's kind of that. Like, he doesn't really say yes, but she interprets it as yes.
If you want to ask Chris, Anna, he's in the lobby.
I know. I know. So we, yes, we have Mr. Holden Reed here. And so we would like to invite him in and then ask you guys some questions.
Awesome.
So let's see where he is.
Maybe ask him for a line read.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Here he comes.
Yay!
Chris, it worked. Oh my gosh. So we are recording right now, Chris, and we've been
Amazing.
Chatting with the lovely Lena, who I know, you know, from,
so
from back in the day.
Again.
And so now we have Dyson and Kiara back on screen again.
Also
Chris, you and I are dressed the same.
You're a sister from another mister. Come on, right?
And put white on. I have white.
Yes. Yes. Literally behind me this whole time. And okay, wait.
Put it on.
Okay.
We're starting in Norwegian. Oh my god. Band. We are all coming over.
No, this I am is actually on screen with the J. Crew catalog for, for 2024.
I love it.
Rewatching the episode, and like honestly, you look amazing. You look the same as you did 15 years ago.
Thank you.
Bravo, whatever jeans you got going on. Good job.
Thanks, Mom.
I have questions for you guys.
Chris, I'm so excited. Sorry, I'm excited to see Chris and like
you
like,
too.
This whole thing. Yeah, it's so fun.
What were your first impressions of each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
But what were your first impressions of each other when you met each other? Because Lena was saying that she auditioned by tape. You guys didn't read together until
being on Rachel's set. The only one who read with me and then threw me under the bus. Got all of my grill.
We were auditioning together, and I think most of the listeners know this story, but so Chris was reading with me, and at one point I thought, well, we're in the room, everyone's here, I'm going to use the space. And I just kind of went right up to him. And of course, then it's quiet. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I forgot my line. It's my line. And I don't know it. And then there's this moment that felt like 10 minutes, you know, of us just like standing, staring at each other. And then Chris is like, I'm sorry, I forgot my line. Thank goodness it wasn't me. But I guess he wasn't prepared for me. I was like this close.
I was prepared for that intimacy. But no, I remember we met at the production office first.
Yeah. It was when we had the reading.
Yeah. And then you and I stayed around a bit after. And I just remember being saying something along the lines of, we have to have like a 1,000-year-old relationship. Yeah. We need to go out drinking tonight or more like ASAP.
We went to
the distillery Liberty Village. That was it. That's right.
Yeah. And then we're like, okay, we're meeting. And it was like, okay. And I got to do this accent. And then we were going to have like a love scene. And it was all like fast and furious.
Jam.
Yeah, but Chris was so lovely and, I mean, obviously, and warm and, like, welcoming, and it's like, it's going to be okay, and supportive, and like, okay, like, don't worry, like, I got you, like, it's going to be, this is going to be fine, you know?
And I think after a couple glasses of wine, I had ridden my bicycle over there, and I doubled her home on my bicycle. She's like, on the back, I'm pedaling away, where do you live?
Yeah, really far
Clinton
away.
Clinton in college. Okay, I can make it.
That sounds exactly right. I love that.
Yeah. Doubling on a bicycle to build a 1,000-year-old relationship. There's nothing better. I mean, that's acting 101.
That's actually it. That's amazing.
The only way it would have worked. Yeah. Otherwise, like, yeah, it would have. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so nice.
All awkwardness was out the window after that. It was just like, all right, she held onto my ass for 4 blocks.
this is a go.
Just test me. I was just like, yeah, I can make this work.
Yeah.
But yeah, that first episode there, like you looked so, like you fit that period so well. Like when you popped on screen with the hair and talking to, I can't remember the actor's name, but. And you did that accent so with such a lovely charm. Like it was the character just flew right off the screen immediately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Mm-hmm. That's so nice to hear. It was a trip to look back at that again and be like, oh my God, like what? But so we talked about the accent too. And I was just saying how it really does give, it's like putting on another costume piece, but more.
Absolutely.
It brings a physicality, it brings like a movement, it brings like the way that she carries herself, it brings, you know, so much. It's just like another layer that can just like help. But it can also be, you know, that's terrifying if you miss one, if you look kind of like squash a vowel the wrong way or if something happened, then you're immediately out of it. So you're just kind of always thinking about it.
It's a great power, but also a responsibility.
Well, it was done so well, Chris, that I had told Lena that I couldn't remember if she was actually British. until we got this started talking. I was like, I think she's British. I just can't remember. Cause it was so great. I was also saying it's one of the best casting choices in Lost Girl history. We had great guests on the show, of course, but I just feel like it was so spot on because it created this real warmth to the character and made Bo have to really like her. You know, he can't not like her, which I really loved.
And you also have an intensity and intelligence to your character that brought to that role. Like it didn't, you brought a genre, you elevated the genre with your style and who you are.
Absolutely.
That's you, nice.
Yeah. You also, one of the things that really struck me that I remember, I think I commented on or maybe, and I think it embarrassed you at the time. But in that shot when you were leaning in and you smiled, you have one sort of canine tooth. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has like one sort of canine, like a bit of a fang. And
there
I was like,
again.
That's a fairy fang right there. I love it.
But guys,
only Chris would recognize it as a fang.
I hate to say it. I've since like had Invisalign and my little fang is like, still there.
You still kind of have the fang. Yeah, actually very cool. Yeah, Chris.
It is very cool.
Yeah.
It is very cool. Shot, you leaned in and smiled at him and it was just like, ding.
I know, in the light. Yeah, I noticed it too. I was like, damn, that fang. And I think I even say the word fang because I'm talking about the
snake, the snake lady.
Yes, the snake. Yeah. And then I'm like, talk about your own fangs. Yeah. Anyway,
I loved it because she's a fairy, right? I was like, and a lot of fairies in mythology have fangs.
Yeah, it's true.
So I was like, yeah.
Typecasting. Yeah.
So I know it's weird to be someone who, you know, it must be weird to be someone who was on the show for a little period of time. I don't know if you understand the level of fandom that Lost Girl built up over the years. And I'm wondering if you have had any fan encounters.
Mm-hmm. This is a while ago.
Yes.
And it's actually back to this British accent, but I wasn't going to like toot my own horn, but now I will have to because you asked me. But my sister lived in Berlin for a long time. And she had a roommate that was a Lost Girl fan. And when I came, I came to visit, but she didn't put it together that because I didn't have a British accent, my sister is Canadian, and I like blew her mind. Like she was like, what? Like she couldn't understand that, first of all, that her roommate's sister was on the show that she loves so much. And second of all, that, yeah, I was just Canadian.
Right.
Do you remember her first name? Maybe she listens and we should give her a shout out.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. I don't.
That's okay.
I can ask my sister and she will definitely remember. But that was very, you know, that was cool. And maybe once in an airport or something, but it was like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
I had a total fan moment with Lena when I saw her in an airport. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's actually the person she's talking about. She's talking about you.
Yeah, it's actually you, Chris.
I'm mixing those up. I think it was, yeah, he was tall. He was like handsome. He was like, yeah, I think now I remember.
Kind of goofy.
Yeah. Kind of goofy. So you guys have only seen each other that one time since working together?
No, we saw in the beginning, we saw each other around a bunch and then the airport for a while. And I don't think we've seen each other since the airport. I mean, I message you on Instagram a lot because you've become, you know, the director that you've become and the projects you're putting out. Like, I'm always like, yeah.
We need to have a coffee and talk about writing and directing and different.
I would love to hear your experiences. You guys know that she directed Michael Caine, right?
No, we don't know anything because we have not asked her. We were going to ask what she has been up to. So please,
what are you up to?
Lena, please tell us.
Well, that was obviously an amazing experience. But yeah, I've since Lost Girl and doing other acting things, I started doing some short films, like writing and directing shorts. And then I recently did first feature, which was starred Michael Caine and Aubrey Plaza. And it came out a couple years ago. right after, like in COVID time, and we were going to be a gala presentation at Berlinale, but it was COVID and blah, 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 blah. But anyway, Bestsellers is the film. And yeah, so now I'm officially a director.
Amazing.
That's beyond amazing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
One of Michael's last performances, right? Since he's retired.
Yeah, his second last film. Yeah.
Wow.
He was 97 when we were together, you know? So he was no, he'd say it himself, he's no spring chicken. But what a guy. And we don't have to go into like this at all. I don't want to, but obviously this was like a huge, you know, a huge thing for me in my life, and like a different fork, a different path. And I miss acting. I love it so much. So, and I would love to like, it would just talking about acting, like the accents and all that stuff, like being back in on that side of things and like creating characters. But all those things are what help serve me as a director and writer as well. And looking at story and all these things. Mm-hmm. So that's been really, really fun. And, thrilling and just really cool for me.
Well, that's amazing. I'm blown away.
That might have been one of the best "what are you up to" we've ever done.
I know. I mean, I feel like most of them are like between projects, and that's true. But no, that's great. That's very exciting. That's very very exciting.
We are
thrilled to have you. And I really can't thank you enough. And I know that the fans are going to love this episode and love hearing from you. Kiara was a really special part of the show and certainly, a special part of Dyson's backstory, which we have talked about with Chris and, is just such a rich part of the Lost Girl history. So thank you so much.
Like I said, I'm so proud to be part of it, you know, and it's really, really great to kind of come back and talk about it. And I'm so glad I'm going to watch all of it again, just like looking at it. I was like, oh my God, there's that. And I want to go back and do like a marathon, you know,
do a marathon.
That's
what we're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there was another episode that Lena and I did pretty intensely further down the road. So maybe we'll come back for that one. I can't remember what it was, but.
Absolutely.
It was somewhere in the teens of that season, like down the road.
I'm going to watch them all. So let me know.
And maybe we'll snaggle her back since she's in between gigs.
There you go.
Have to all wear turtleneck sweaters. And
I know. I'm gonna have to, I don't think I have a white colored turtleneck. I have like
other colors. We're versatile.
Yeah.
Oh, you're versatile. Yeah. Okay. We'll start a text chain, a turtleneck.
So you just tell us the color you want and we'll meet you there.
Okay.
We can ask fans what turtleneck color they would like to see.
Yes.
No, obscure.
No, we're not going to do that. Sorry.
This totally is like some weird sort of ABBA from a different dimension sort of thing going on here. Who can sing? Not me.
Not me.
Anyway, so good to see you. And yes, we'll do coffee and I would love to catch up.
Yes. Yes.
Did you just have to promise to take her home on your bike?
Oh, yeah,
no, it's got to be. Not to take her home. You have to promise to actually just maybe drive her home. Like a
drive her home. Yeah, that's true. That's probably a better idea.
Can't afford a car. What are you talking about?
It's like rollerblades for home.
There's room on my longboard, yo.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, good time.
Well, on that note, thanks for joining us for this episode of the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast.
We will see you on the next one. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast, which is produced by Anna Silk, Rachel Skarsten, and Seth Cooperman, with theme music by our very own Blood King, Rick Howland. Please rate, review, and share the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast. This enables us to grow and continue bringing you exciting new content every week. If you don't already,
Follow us on Instagram and on our YouTube channel at Lost Girl Rewatch. You can also subscribe to Patreon, where you will get exclusive video access to all of our episodes.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.